Could I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
And thank you so much for your attention. And this is Attention Please on KPTZ. It airs every Monday at 12:30. We rebroadcast this again at 5:30. And then also on Saturday, periodically, we put it on at 12:30. A few weeks ago, KPTZ's Attention Please, actually, I got an email that read as follows. It says, I am a volunteer with St. Vincent de Paul. And I have volunteered for many, many groups in Jefferson County, and this one is by far my favorite and the one that has given me the most personal satisfaction. I feel that I am actually doing something to help our neighbors in need. And that email came to us from Debbie Steele, who is here with us. And I know, Debbie, by reputation, that you volunteer for a lot of stuff.
I have.
And that was a compelling statement, I thought.
Well, thank you. It was from the heart.
Yeah.
It's really true. Every time I am faced with the neighbors coming in asking for help, I'm humbled, and it also makes me feel so grateful. And one of the things that I found that was such a surprise to me, Taylor, was how grateful our neighbors are. That's what we call the people that come and get help from us. Our neighbors are so grateful for every little, I mean, like we give them a $50 gift card for food at Safeway, and you'd think it was $5,000.
Yeah.
They're just, it makes a big difference in their lives, and that's a wonderful thing.
So let's back up and talk. We're also joined today by Norm Tonino.
Correct.
I got it right. Who is the vice president of the local St. Vincent de Paul conference? And I did not know they were called conferences.
Correct.
And St. Vincent, maybe you could help us understand how St. Vincent. You know, I think we're all familiar with a thrift store, and you mentioned there isn't one here.
Right.
So give me an idea of maybe how the organization is spread across the country and organized and what you do here in town.
Sure. It's actually a global organization. It was started in France in the early 1800s. There are now 100,000 St. Vincent volunteers in the U.S. So we work across the entire United States. We've been operating in Jefferson County now since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been here a while. St. Vincent's, it's a 100% donor-funded organization. We operate out of St. Mary's Star of the Sea.
Right.
Although we do not necessarily get any funding from them. The church allows us once a month to have a collection. And we have a small grant team that
from the congregation.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're very, very generous with us because they understand the impact that we've had. We also have a small team of volunteers working on obtaining grants from across the community. And, you know, a shout out to the Give Jefferson campaign.
Yeah, definitely.
We actually received a great amount of interest in the work that we do through Give Jefferson. So.
Yeah,
I think it's important to, you know, the Jefferson Community Foundation, I think, puts that Give Jefferson, and it's the local incarnation of the UGN, right?
That's correct.
Of United Good Neighbors. And there are these organizations, both large and small, supported by that, by your contribution to
Give
Jefferson.
And this year, they were really concentrating on groups that give basic needs. And that's exactly what we do. We just address basic needs. So that's why we, once again, were honored to be chosen by UGN Give Jefferson to be part of their giving this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very successful.
So is that a large portion of the fund? Does funding come from the national organization at all? Or is
no.
it it's just
mm-hmm.
all collected locally and then dispensed locally?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we depend on those of you listening out there
right.
to send us money. And like you said, Kate Davis, one of our volunteers, is the head of our team that is now looking for grants. We're trying to get out there and see if we can get some grants.
Yeah.
So,
and the community has been really generous with us over
absolutely.
The years. So it's private foundations, individual donors. We just had a matching grant over the holidays at St. Mary's Star of the Sea where the donor offered up a $3,000 match. And the parishioners actually ended up kicking in $8,000.
Yeah, it was so great.
Yeah, it's really great. First Federal Community Foundation.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
Of which I am a part, to be totally transparent, has made a couple of grants over the years. And then there are a number of private foundations, as I said.
You know, it's such a humbling to be.
It really is.
To be part of an organization that depends upon community funding, as KPTZ does, and to see people come in and drop off, you know, checks both large and small, is amazing that the people of Port Townsend care enough about their community to support different organizations who are doing good works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you're a donor to either of us, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We appreciate it. And we'll
keep
take
writing
more.
Checks.
Yeah. both of us, KPGZ and St. Vincent.
Yeah, help us.
Yeah.
I'm struck by your, you said you call them neighbors, was yeah. that? You know, I've heard sometimes when we're talking about our local, oh yeah, the station therapy dog, Sage, is here at the station and has just stuck his head in Debbie's lap and said, "Here, pat me."
and I'm obeying.
So, in the process of discussing the homeless situation, it's important to remember that the homeless population in Jefferson County and in Port Townsend are residents of County and of Port Townsend. I think we tend to forget that mm-hmm. in the same way that it's easy to think that people in need are not necessarily, you know, our neighbors. We think, oh, that's the other, but they're
exactly.
not.
Exactly. Yeah. The other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's very true. And I think that's why it's so good for those of us that are volunteering with St. Vincent to remember that. These are our neighbors. There, but for the grace of whatever you believe in, mm-hmm. I could be right there. Mm-hmm. It's how we make decisions. It's how we're raised. It's how you get into circumstances. And Taylor, we were talking about this.
I was just thinking, say we should. You said that people sometimes can be just one emergency away.
When my very first time I volunteered, a man came in, an older, now I'm old.
Yeah.
So, I think he was probably younger than me, but he looked worn out.
Uh-huh.
And he came in and he said, "I'm so sorry I'm here. I'm so sorry." And I was with John Hayes, who had initially persuaded me to come do mm-hmm. some work. And John said, "Don't be sorry. We're here. This is exactly why we're here." He said, "I was doing great. I was making it through the month, and my water heater broke."
Uh-huh.
And there he was with no water and no water heater. And that was something we could do to help him. And he was in tears. He was so grateful. And I haven't seen him since. And that was 2.5 years ago. So he needed us for what we're there for, which is emergency.
So expand on that a little bit. So this isn't what St. Vincent provides is almost like a bridge between what's normal over the emergency and trying to get people back to normalcy again. Is that fair to say?
Our neighbors have a range of issues. There are some who are homeless that we see more often than others.
Mm-hmm.
There are some neighbors who are dealing with disabilities and trauma
mm-hmm.
that tend to be more regular consumers of our assistance. We have a number of situations where grandparents are raising their mm-hmm. children's children,
right.
their grandchildren, and they're just really in a bind being able to have the means to do that at this point in their life when they were really planning to be retirement.
Right.
So, but there are a number. I just talked to a gentleman this morning. I happen to be on call this week who, we haven't seen in almost a year. And he struggles with a health condition. It impacted his ability to work for about a month. And, 10, 11 months later, he had to come in to ask us to help pay his past due utility bill, which is it's a pretty typical situation. So our neighbor, it's hard to really generalize because they're all dealing with such different challenges mm-hmm. in their life.
I think I read one time in some of our statistics here that about 30% of our neighbors are homeless.
We serve 250 homeless people in 2025.
Mm-hmm. So out of how many?
The total number of people whose lives we touched last year was a little over 2,000.
Yeah.
And about 444 of those were children. But 250 of them were homeless.
Yeah.
So
I think people have the idea that it's just homeless that we're serving. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wanted to bring that up. Yes, we're happy to serve homeless mm-hmm. or unhoused neighbors, but it's not the main bulk of who we serve.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to look at the stats. And, you know, when we started back in 2005, that first year, we had 200 requests for the whole year.
Wow.
And now you're up to 2,000.
And now last year we had 1,600 requests. We were able to satisfy 1,300 of those requests. And we gave out $152,000 to our neighbors.
Wow. Wow, yeah, that's great.
These numbers are... they're staggering as I was putting them together. $80,000 alone in food support last year. Mm-hmm. So we'll often provide either Safeway or QFC gift cards to our neighbors mm-hmm. when they're saying they're struggling with food.
And I want to do a little shout out to the First Presbyterian Church. This year in December, they gave us how many? Of those cards?
25
or 30 gift cards from Safeway mm-hmm. that we could just pass out. You know, we are given each week we have a different or around the same amount of money that we can give out. Mm-hmm. And when we run out of money, like we're already out of money today.
This
we start on Sunday.
Yeah. And today's Monday. And you're out.
And where I changed the message on the phone at 6 a.m. this morning saying we're out of appointments for the week. So
that's kind of heartbreaking, isn't it?
It is heartbreaking.
Very heartbreaking. The one thing I'll say about that is part of this is a money issue. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to manage our budgets pretty rigorously. But, I'm an organizational psychologist by trade. If I look at what really the largest constraint is that we deal with, it's volunteers.
Yes.
It's a volunteer-intensive business. It doesn't mean you're working full-time when you come and you volunteer with St. Vincent de Paul. But, it takes, if you're going to be on call or you're going to spend a day, we meet neighbors twice a week, once at the Red Cross building in Port Townsend on Tuesday, and then on Wednesdays we're out at Tri-Area Community Center in Chimicum.
Plus we have a woman in Brennan that helps our Brennan Quilcene neighbors.
Right. But those are, 4-hour commitments if you're going to sit there and meet with neighbors to do the intake. It's about 10 hours, I would say, a week to sit here and sort through the calls and figure out where people are at and the budgets that we set for each neighbor. I would say the greatest constraint that we struggle with is really finding an adequate number of volunteers.
I agree. That's why we're here. We're hoping people understand what we do and how wonderful it is to do it and be inspired to join us.
So you need donations, but what you really want is people to join you in this effort. Mm-hmm. Is most of the support you provide, the examples you've given have mostly been about financial support, but do you provide other kinds of support besides finance?
Yeah. We offer, we live in a community rich with resources in terms of human resources. We work very closely with the Dove House. Mm-hmm. We work very closely with OLECAP.
Mm-hmm. Believe in Recovery.
Believe in Recovery has been a super important partner.
We've had them on the
They're
air.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. The Real Team.
Yeah, through Discovery Behavioral Health, mm-hmm. Jefferson County Health, we work with pretty closely. I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, we work with the people at the shelter, at Bayside, at
OLECAP.
OLECAP, the YMCA. They're all part of the mosaic that are providing.
So as the needs sort of kind of veer into somebody's kind of bailiwick, mm-hmm. you then direct your neighbor over to somebody who maybe specializes in the sort of support they need.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. And First Presbyterian, from a financial perspective, they're really interesting because we have a relationship with First Presbyterian. They're impressed with our ability to intake neighbors and to really understand the depth of challenges that they're dealing with. So we can call First Presbyterian Church at any time and tell them of a specific neighbor situation, and we don't quite have the resources to cover it all ourselves. And I can't remember a time when First Pres said no.
Right.
They've been really, really great collaborators with us.
Yeah. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Attention Please on KPTZ. I'm Taylor Clark, and I am joined today by Norm Tonina, who is the vice president of the St. Vincent de Paul Conference, and by Debbie Steele, who is a volunteer with St. Vincent de Paul and put this together for us.
I did.
And sometimes I say this, not always. If you have questions, dj@kptz.org, if you can get them in the next couple minutes.
We'd love to answer any questions.
Have a chance. So we have about 10 minutes left. We should probably start talking about how... you know, how people can get involved. Now, we could wait another 5 minutes and do that.
No, I'd love to tell people how to get involved now. You can either call our number, which is 360-379-1325. And this week, you'd hear the lovely, wonderful Norm Tonina, who has the phone this week. And we meet twice a month at the St. Mary's Church. Mm-hmm. They give us a room for free, which is really nice.
We were just discussing. That's an important thing.
It's so important.
If an organization has a space, they can help out another organization by saying, come meet here.
Like KPTZ.
Like we do for...
Yeah, KPTZ does.
We do that for the Beacon.
And we were just talking about JCF. They have a meeting room. And First Federal.
Has a meeting room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
We're not really in the business of providing meeting rooms. Just...
Neither is St. Mary's.
Right. But we're interested in providing providing information and saying, come on, tell us about your organization.
Yeah.
In our email conversation, Debbie, we said that, we are a community of volunteers. And I find that as people, you've been here a number of years, and so you're well indoctrinated into the volunteer ethos. But as new people come, you know, they know it's a wonderful town, and they know there's something special here, but they maybe don't know what.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking a big component is the fact that people step up and get involved in different organizations. And I think this is an example of an opportunity for listeners to say, hey, I'd like to give something back to this community.
That's right.
I'm just learning about this, and I'd like to join in.
Well, I want to tell you about my wonderful friend John Hayes.
You mentioned him before.
Yeah.
Okay.
John had been with our group for 10 years or maybe
even
more.
Even longer, yeah.
And John and I were friends through his wife, Alice Hayes, who... Anyway, and John kept asking me to get involved with St. Vincent de Paul. And of course, the first thing I said was, I'm not Catholic. And he said, you don't have to be Catholic. You know, you just have to want to help people. And that's what I want to tell people out there. You don't have to be Catholic. You just have to want to help. Mm-hmm. And that's what St. Vincent de Paul is all about, helping our neighbors. And I think what people need to also know from my point of view is I came thinking I would help other people, and what ended up happening is volunteering helped me. It was a great thing for me to make me realize more about my community, to make me realize how fortunate I am. And it's just been a all-around wonderful thing. The people I work with in St. Vincent de Paul are angels. That might be a little much. But
as she looks,
you're
at
not
me.
That much, Norm. You're not that much.
But
it's a great.
They're kind giving people.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So I don't know if you have anything to add about that, Norm. But I
no, it. I couldn't agree more. And it's important to note that in our interactions with neighbors, we never even ask any. We never bring religion up. We never ask what their affiliation is. We have had, I've been doing this now. I started doing it in Seattle before I moved here full time, and I've been doing it in this conference for 2 years. probably one handful of neighbors asked if we would pray with them. Right. So if a neighbor asks, we'll meet the neighbor where they're at. Mm-hmm. But
by and large, at least this conference is non-denominational. Mm. Would be a,
I'd say yeah. That's probably yeah. true. And I think one of the things that's been really wonderful in the last year or so is we've been really concentrating on listening.
No.
On listening, because that somebody comes in and you can say, "So how's it going?" Mm-hmm. And it opens up a floodgate sometimes. Sometimes people just need to talk.
Being able to share where they're at with somebody is a part of the of what you do. It helps.
It does. And there's always two people, by the way. Right. You never do this alone. Mm-hmm. So when I'm
the organizations support their volunteers in mm-hmm. this. Yeah.
And I want to say one other thing, Taylor. When I first started volunteering with St. Vincent de Paul, I did it once a month.
That was going to be my next question. What kind of commitment are we talking about?
Yeah. I started doing once a month. And then, as I got more involved, then I wanted to do a little more. Mm-hmm. But I did that for a long time, once a month.
We have the same conversation with volunteers here what do you need to do to be a volunteer here? Well, it depends on what you want to do. And there's big volunteer pieces and there's little volunteer pieces.
Right. Like somebody that wants to help Kate with a grant. That'd be great.
Yeah, right.
And somebody that maybe can't leave their home. We have a position, you have to be computer savvy.
Yeah.
But you pretty much can do the whole thing from home. And then there's other people who, like myself, who like to be with our neighbors and mm-hmm. meet them. And that requires, like, I sit at Tri-Area for
Red Cross.
Red Cross, a building which is across from the police in Mountain View.
In Mountain View, yep.
I sit there with another another volunteer for 4 hours, and it's great.
Okay. Wow, we still have 2.5 minutes left.
Okay, Norm, so, any more? I told Norm when we decided to do this, you've got to be the numbers guy.
Well, I shared the numbers. I think some of it, I thought about a couple of vignettes of some of the more moving interactions I've had with neighbors. A lot of these people are dealing with some sort of trauma, overcoming addiction. There was one young person that I worked with who was overcoming addiction and remaining clean, and their child was living with their mother. And his only goal was to really get into safe housing so that he could create a space to get their daughter back. Mm-hmm. It just makes you realize these are pretty normal challenges, very normal desires that people have, and being able to actually assist our neighbors in that journey is very meaningful work.
It is, and I want to tell you a vignette. He suggested I think of one. We had one when I was on call a couple weeks ago. A woman who's a waitress, and she had two sons, 17 and 12, I think, and she got sick. And she got so sick that she couldn't go to work for 2 weeks. Well, if you're a waitress and you get paid by the hour you live on tips and you miss out on 2 weeks of work.
Now you're in trouble.
That's that tunnel we were talking about. You start going down the, oh my God, I can't pay my rent tunnel. And you don't see everything else that comes behind it, which is the utilities that go with that rent and mm-hmm. other things that happen and that water heater that goes out.
Time flies here, and I'm going to say, so if you're just joining us and you thought this was interesting, tune in at 5:30. If it's 5:30, tune in on Saturday. I'm Taylor Clark for Attention Please. We've been talking today with volunteers from the local conference of St. Vincent de Paul, Debbie Steele, and Norm Tonino. Mm-hmm. And I thank you very much for joining us. I'll put that, this will be posted on our website too.
And we have a website, SVDPEJC.
Dot org.
And I will post the phone number and the
great.
Link to the
thank
site.
Thank you so much, Taylor. This has
website.
Been great.
Thank you, sir, for yeah. thank you for thinking of this and thinking of us and bringing this in, Debbie. Yep. Really appreciate it.